Well, we are taking a break from our series in Acts and moving into our Advent sermon series. And I think I either told Kylie the wrong thing or I changed my mind. Either one is possible. Who knows? But the sermon series is going to be Unboxing Christmas, Promise and Unboxing Christmas is a sermon series. And then we're going to primarily be in the book of John, looking at the book of John. And really, this sermon series is kind of loosely tied to our children's Christmas program that you will be seeing here very shortly. I was inspired by that. So that's just a quick introduction of where we are going over the next several weeks leading up until Christmas. Today's passage comes from John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. This is a familiar passage for many of us who have been in the church for a while. Jesus has been ministering and picking up in verse 1, it says, "After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, 'Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?' He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, 'There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?' Jesus said, 'Have the people sit down.' Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, 'Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost.' So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, 'This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world.' Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we have officially entered into the Advent season. Advent is the season in which the church has historically prepared to celebrate the coming of our King, the birth of Jesus Christ. It is in many ways to recognize what Rod was talking about at the very beginning, the season of waiting, of anticipation, of longing for a Redeemer, for our Rescuer. Advent also is the beginning of the church calendar. So similar to our regular calendar, January 1st is often a time of renewal for people. They make New Year's resolutions or decide maybe they're going to work out more or eat healthier. Likewise, the beginning of the church calendar is an opportunity for us to reset or refocus or make new spiritual goals, so to say, in order that we might be prepared ourselves for the arrival of our King. And so this Advent season is an opportunity for us to pause, to maybe breathe, to take a look at our lives, to assess whether or not that we are on the path that we are supposed to be, and to allow ourselves this time to maybe redirect if necessary. And so this series of Unboxing Christmas, or, you know, taking the packaging off of it and looking at what is inside and maybe rediscovering what the true meaning of Christmas is. You know, we celebrate the arrival of Jesus, his birth, and what that means. But what we're going to be diving into is what does that mean? Beyond just a baby being born in the Savior. You know, it's deeper than that. Yes, our Savior has come. What does that mean? So those are what we're going to be diving into this Advent season. The scripture passage that we read today is not a traditional Christmas passage. But the key theme of that passage is an Advent theme. The first Sunday of Advent is traditionally or historically the Sunday of hope or of promise or of prophecy or provision. Hope, promise, prophecy, this anticipation, this looking forward to what God has provided, is providing, and will provide. And so we have this story of Jesus with his disciples, and they've been doing ministry, and they're looking for an opportunity to maybe take a break or to move away, and so they get in a boat, and they sail across the Sea of Galilee. But this crowd, I mean, they've seen what Jesus is doing. They've seen miracles happening. They've seen people being healed. I mean, imagine what you would do. Imagine if you had seen a man who had healed person after person after person. If you've ever been very sick yourself, or if you've known somebody who's been diagnosed with, you know, an incurable or you know, a terminal illness, and all you had to do in order to find healing was to make it to the other side of the lake, I mean, what would you be willing to do to get to the other side of the lake? And that's what this group of people, I mean, they see Jesus, you know, taking off in a boat. And this crowd, they're like, we're not done with you yet, Jesus. And so they pursue after him, wanting to experience more of the healing, more of the power, more of the promise of the Messiah. And when it talks about Jesus having compassion for them, you know, this isn't, it's not pity. It's not, you know, poor, you know, Israelites. This is, you know, the type of compassion, you know, that a parent might have if their child came to them with, you know, an actual injury. You know, the type of, you know, where you are embracing them and holding them in your arms type of compassion. Jesus, you know, sought to take a break, to move on, but he has compassion on this people. And we're almost immediately presented with the problem. That in their haste, the people's haste to follow Jesus, I mean, it's a significant journey. You know, some of them had traveled as far as 10 miles in order to be close to Jesus. Most of them would have left abruptly, without provisions. Many of them probably wouldn't have been in traveling clothes. They wouldn't have made plans for where they might stay. And so Jesus recognizes, you know, I mean, these people, I mean, if he does nothing for them, most of them could probably make it home. They would be okay. They might be a little bit hungry. They might be a little bit grumpy by the time they arrived home. There's really no one is in danger of starving or, dying from exhaustion. It was part of, Jewish culture that if a person really needed something, that it was part of the culture to show hospitality. You know, so these people, even if it would have taken them time to get back, they probably would have been okay. But Jesus recognized that when people are tired or hungry or a little bit grumpy because of that, that it's harder for them to listen. And Jesus didn't want to miss an opportunity here. He didn't want people to miss out on the things that he was trying to communicate to them. And so he asks his disciples, hey, do we have a way to get these people food? I mean, Jesus knows what he's going to do. I mean, I think Jesus does this to us all the time, you know, where he asks, hey, you guys want to participate? I know what you should do, but, you know, do you want to try to solve this problem with me? And Philip is the person that, you know, the question is directed to. And Philip is kind of this analytic brain. I mean, in the pages of Scripture, we can almost see his brain crunching the numbers, beginning to think, well, so there's 5,000 men here, or, you know, approximately 5,000 men here, plus all of the, you know, the women and maybe the children. And really, you know, when they're doing counting of people in this culture, when they're counting the men, they're primarily just counting the able-bodied men. So it's not really counting into maybe those who are maybe considered elderly or infirmed in some way. You know, and so really, you know, estimates of the exact number is somewhere, you know, between the 5,000 and 15,000. This is a lot of people. And so Philip, he's crunching the numbers, and he's like, you know, 200 denarii, like, you know, a year's worth of money is not going to be enough money to feed these people. Like, we have no way of doing it. And Philip is kind of the bird. He's always looking at, you know, the external evidence. He's counting up the numbers. He's doing the math. You know, he wants the physical evidence. He wants to see things. Many of us are like Philip. You know, I knew every year at Christmas time that my parents were going to give me some Christmas gifts. But it suddenly became a little bit more real when I saw those gifts under the tree, to be able to see them. I knew that there would be there, but then actually seeing them brought about this new level of belief. And that's what where many of us are. We're seeing things, or being able to see things in the way that we can understand them makes it easier to believe in them. Andrew, whose response just seems to maybe be an improvement on the survey, he's a little bit more of a person of action, you know. Well, let's see what we have, you know. And so we have kind of this image of Andrew going throughout the crowd, being like, "Well, what did you guys bring? What do you have? Does anybody have any food?" And he comes back and he's, you know, and all of these people, you know, the best option that we have is this little boy who has some loaves of bread and a couple of fish, essentially what the boy would have brought for his lunch. But there's something, but it's not enough. You know, there's no way, this is enough to feed this boy. So Philip calculated, and Andrew simply looked at the resources and decided that there wasn't a way to solve the problem. Really, the problem here is that the disciples greatly underestimated the wealth at their disposal. They were thinking about things in terms of what the world had to offer, what was right before them, the money that they didn't have, the food that wasn't present, and the hunger of the people. Jesus, being who Jesus is, the Son of God, said, well, bring me that lunch. Bring me that sack lunch. Let's see what we can do with that. You know, I have been in soup kitchens or other places where people do an incredible job of taking a small amount of food and somehow miraculously turning it into, you know, a food to feed more people. You know, you add more water to the soup kind of thing. But what Jesus does here is not that. Jesus doesn't somehow just add more water to the soup. But Jesus, he displays his power. This is one of the most clear demonstrations of just how powerful Jesus is, and also one of the most public demonstrations of just how powerful that Jesus was. This is a miracle that is considered almost what's called ex nihilo, which is, you know, out of nothing. So when God created, you know, the earth in Genesis, it was out of nothing that he created it. And here Jesus is taking, it's essentially out of nothing, the food to feed the 5,000 or 15,000. And we're not told exactly how this happened. What we're told is that Jesus gave thanks. So before there was enough food, Jesus gave thanks for the food. And he broke the bread, and he prayed, he broke the bread, and it began to be distributed. And so we don't know exactly how the miracle happened. We don't know if, like, the loaves miraculously got bigger or what, or if as they broke off a piece, it was like they didn't break off a piece. But what is clear from Scripture is that this actually happened, and it actually happened in miraculous ways. That Jesus did something that no one else in the history of the world could have done. Out of nothing, he fed people. So we see in this, we've seen the people and their hunger. We've seen the problem and the provision. The people were so, blown away by what Jesus had done. So they had seen him heal. They traveled up to 10 miles because they had seen what Jesus had done, and they wanted to get in on that. And now, in this swelling crowd, they've seen the miraculous happen again. So here we have a man who can heal us, and a man who can feed us. What more could we need or want? Let's make him king. That's what a lot of us would love today, is to have somebody in authority who just made sure that we were perfectly healthy and well-fed. That's what we long for, right? To have good health and food in our bellies. What else do you have to worry about? There's plenty of things, but. And so they say, we're going to make him king, but Jesus is like, slow down, guys. Not yet. Not yet. And we see Jesus retreating. So what does this all have to do with Advent? with Christmas? What does a little boy and some loaves and fishes have to do with the story of Christmas? It reminds us of just how powerful that gift of Christmas is. That baby born in a manger, just how powerful he is. And so this Christmas, this Advent season, there's a lot of things that we will profess, a lot of things that we say that we believe. This is a season of hope, of promise, of joy, of peace, of kingdoms. This is a season that we long for. And we have all kinds of external evidence to remind us that Christmas is here. Lights are up, trees are up, there's smells of Christmas, there's sounds of Christmas, there's tastes of Christmas. All around us is the reminder. But do we need that external evidence to remind us of the gift that we have at Christmas? It's helpful. But do you need it to believe? All of us are entering into this Advent season with our unique problems. All of us have concerns or things that seem beyond us. All of us arrive at this Advent season wondering whether these problems will ever go away. Maybe for you they're small. Maybe it has something to do with health. Maybe it has something to do with your finances. Maybe it has something to do with your loneliness. Maybe it's anxiety. I don't know. But as we enter into these seasons, do you believe that God is big enough to handle these problems? You see, the message that Jesus was trying to convey to these people that he fed was not that he was a source of bread and fish, but that he was a source of so much more. Don't you understand that if he is a God who is able to create something out of nothing, that he can create something out of the nothingness of your life too. And so if there is no solution to the problems that you are facing, he can create something out of that nothingness too. Do you believe that? Because the problem is that time and time again, we underestimate the wealth at our disposal. We're like Peter and Philip, or Philip and Andrew, where we see what's in front of us, or the lack thereof, and we think these things will never be okay. Because all as we can see is the external evidence, where Jesus is calling us to look deeper, to unbox it, to figure out what is all inside. Jesus arrived on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and he had compassion on the people. Do you think that he doesn't have compassion for you as well? Do you think that he sees you any differently than he saw those people then? He knows you. He longs to be in a relationship with you. He wants to interact with you. And he doesn't just arrive to do parlor tricks or some magic trick where there's suddenly more bread and fish than there was before. He creates complete change in our lives. And so this Advent season, as we begin in it, my invitation for you is to start fresh. Take this as an opportunity to start over, to embrace maybe new ideas, to allow yourself to believe a little bit deeper what Christ has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. There is power in Christmas. And the important thing to remember about the power of Christmas is that it is not constrained to a season. It's eternal. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the way that you provide in miraculous ways. I pray that you would just continue to reveal those ways to us. Heavenly Father, we mentioned problems, and you know the depth of the ones that we are facing as individuals. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us to see the way that you are moving and working in the midst of those problems, that you are working to create, the solutions are coming. Help us to have faith in that. Help us to look to you this Advent season. We pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen.